Wrestling with Kayfabe, back with another episode. How about that Elimination Chamber last night? Your boy Papa Shro, DEJ here with you to break everything down and go over this pretty stellar event, I'd say. Really great storyline with the Bloodline, of course, kind of coming to a head. I don't think this is all we, have seen of it with the Elimination Chamber in Montreal, in Sami Zayn's hometown, and big event last night, and that crowd was absolutely rocking.
Yeah, they really were. That is kind of what you want as a wrestling booker in general, right? And you want that just absolute hometown hero crowd heat that you got last night from Sami Zayn. You and I were talking back and forth when it was going on. The fact that he entered second was a brilliant move, I thought.
Huge.
He liked that one, too. it just gave the crowd more of a chance to get behind him. The near falls were a work of art.
Had me on the edge of my seat.
We've said this every podcast, but does Roman Reigns top John Cena at his prime at this run right now? Do you John Cena's best run, which was I can't remember the year, but it's when he held the belt for I think almost 2 years. Was this Roman Reigns better than John Cena's 2 year run?
I think it could definitely rival it. I mean, the way that Roman has went through this whole storyline, and this one particularly in the last year or so, the stuff with Brock Lesnar always, wasn't the best, 100% best all the time. But I think whenever you get guys like that together that are huge draws, always going to produce great stuff. And with Paul Heyman interjected into it, I mean, just there's such a roller coaster of a run, really, with different parts to it, different storylines involved within the storyline of Roman Reigns, and I definitely think it rivals it. I think that might be some good homework for us to do to kind of go over. I mean, obviously CM Punk's run with the belt, you said Cena, and maybe kind of go through some of those just to see kind of what is the, who was the best of the best through all that, because I think those are probably your top three title runs of the last 20 years.
That's true. I was just kind of thinking of a more recent, Hulk-ish aura, but that's true. I mean, you have CM Punk, you have John Cena, and you could even throw in a Triple H run here or there. And, yeah, when he had those runs and JBL's run for a year, so there's a lot of runs that weren't necessarily longer than Cena and Reigns, maybe, story-wise was just good. I don't know if you found this to be true or not. I think you did, but I feel like the Jey Uso thing kind of fell flat to me.
A little, yeah.
I get it, but I think we expected more, but maybe we're going to get more later down the road. But it felt like if there was a moment to do it, that would have been it.
Yeah, no, I do get the kind of subtleness of it, and I don't think that we're necessarily ready for Jey to straight up attack Roman, or them there to be an actual rivalry there yet. But maybe after the fallout of WrestleMania, I think especially would be a good time to maybe do that. How long do you continue all of this stuff with the Bloodline? Honestly, I mean, because there's still so much story to tell, I think, between all, four of them, Sammy, Jimmy, and Jey, and Roman, or five, and then you got Solo Sikoa, and Paul Heyman, all mixed in and intertwined, because at the end of the day, I think Paul stays loyal to Roman throughout it, and I don't necessarily know if I want to see Paul Heyman switch sides or anything like that. But just the fact, like you said last episode, the way that they're tying all this together and in the end with Jey is just absolutely amazing, because you're really kind of tying up this whole story into kind of one perfect, I don't know how to say it, but you know, you've tied it up on both sides. And once you get through this, and where all of them go from here, obviously we've, you know, kind of heard the rumors. Roman's kind of done after this run, or, you know, going to be a real part-timer. And, you know, I think that's fine. And so once we move on from this, you know, you wonder how much we'll see Roman after this WrestleMania and, you know, beyond.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And I'm interested to see where Solo Sikoa goes after this all ends. You know, because I think they're trying to push him as, you know, the next big force in WWE, which, you know, is probably true. I think he definitely can pull that off.
Well, and even then, I mean, you could continue with the three of them, you know, Solo Sikoa and the Usos.
You could, but I mean, I think that would be kind of repetitive, you know, in a way. And I think if you're WWE, if it's this long of a story, I think once it's over, you kind of end all of that.
Yeah, I think... Well, the only way I think you get away with it is you kind of make them a mid-card group, essentially, where, you know, it's not at the top of the card anymore, but you still kind of get, you know, a little bit of remnants of what was, and then obviously break down from there, and then, you know, everybody will go their separate ways at some point. I think you could pull that off for a few months, but, I mean, I feel you. To be at the top of the card, and if they push Solo Sikoa straight into that, with the Usos behind him, I think that, again, like you said, it gets a little repetitive. So, but I think if you go mid-card, you get away with it for a few more months.
That's true. I mean, I think that kind of happens in WWE. You get that big push from groups, and then they go to the mid-card, and they kind of disappear. Speaking of groups that are kind of getting that upper mid-card push, you know, that Judgment Day mixed tag match with Edge and Beth Phoenix was actually very good. You know, I was, I mean, not that Finn Balor being a great wrestler is surprising, but, you know, just Beth Phoenix was a little off. You could see it, but she got it together at the end, and it turned out to be a really good finish.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good match at the end of the day. They hit a shadow machine. Rumor has it FTR will be coming back at some point. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, rumors that circulate through that.
Oh man, if FTR come back to WWE, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, you know,
Triple H would book them correctly.
Right, and Edge is a good friend of both those guys, so, you know, I'm sure that he probably knows something we don't. But, you know, at the end of the day, for a guy who's older and, you know, is basically half retired, you know, putting on a high-level match against one of the better wrestlers in the world and one of the best wrestlers on the roster... And for Beth Phoenix to do it against probably the best wrestler on the female roster right now, you know, is wildly impressive.
So a couple things from, we kind of talked about right before we started recording about the press conference afterwards and how, you know, we both, I think, kind of enjoy those. And that's kind of obviously a direct from AEW brought over to WWE, which, you know, I mean, I like it just being a fight fan too. You know, we're used to that. You know, after a big event, you want to watch the press conference. You get each fighter, and then you get Dana White, Triple H, you know, in this situation, kind of go over the card. And I think that it's awesome. And two things, Edge absolutely destroyed that press conference. I mean, like, you couldn't do it any better of a way to play into, because, you know, in 2023, what is kayfabe really, right? So... to be able to kind of tie both in where Edge is kind of being like, you know, a normal person reacting to his match and reacting to what's going on, and then to switch into kayfabe mode and say, you know, I don't know about that dude Austin Theory. I don't know if he's got, you know, quite the work ethic that, you know, we're going to find out Monday night because I'm going to take up his challenge. I haven't wrestled in, I can't remember where he said it was, Alberta.
I think it's Montreal, maybe?
No, they were in Montreal on Monday night. They're going somewhere else. Maybe, but he said he hadn't wrestled there in 17 years, wherever it was. I can't remember exactly, but, and he said, you know, I think Monday night I will do that, and, you know, said he's going to take Austin Theory up on his challenge. And so we've already got a little bit of pre-hype for Monday night, which, you know, is a great way to tie in. I mean, wrestling is exhausting. Weekly 3-hour show on Raw, you've got, you know, all this wrestling content out there. So just to add that little bit of flair to, you know, catch somebody like me, it's like, I would like to see that match. You know, that wouldn't be a bad match. And the way Edge hyped it up already like that, amazing. So the other takeaway from that exactly, that same moment with Beth Phoenix, was I really liked how they asked her about Rhea Ripley and how, you know, she was commentator on NXT for a long time and she called a lot of her matches on NXT, and they just kind of dove into that and kind of asked her about, you know, what she thought about going from a commentator and a spectator to actually getting in the ring with her. And I thought that that was a really, you know, I don't know exactly who's back there doing the questioning. I mean, it looked like legitimate media. So what I'm assuming, you know, because at one point the one guy announced himself as, you know, I mean, I didn't pay attention, but what I can remember from an Ottawa Gazette or something like that. So I think that it was legitimate media back there, and, you know, they asked some good questions. And I really like this, the style of what they're doing, and it's got me even more excited that, you know, I'm, you know, WrestleMania, and I'm sure they'll have plenty of that after WrestleMania. I think it'll be good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've started kind of doing that at WrestleMania at the mid part of last year when Cody came back. That's when they really started to kind of dive into that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's a good idea, like you said. You know, it kind of has a touch of realness to it. Mm-hmm. And it gives wrestlers a chance to, you know, to break that third wall and be more real. I thought Edge's, I think someone asked him about retirement, and he said, you know, I don't know, you know, 8 or 9 months down the road, but I would like it to be in Canada. So yeah. I think we're getting closer to a full retirement from him, you know, but I, who knows, you know, like they always say, never say never.
Yeah.
But it sounds like we're getting closer to the end of his career, actually, the way he would want to end it. So, you know.
Which is awesome.
Right, which is good to hear. What did you think of, trying to think of something lovely comment. How did you feel about the heat on Dominic Mysterio? I mean, that was, some people are calling it some of the best work ever, just not even being a match. And he was just hated the whole time.
Yeah, I think Dominic is really underrated right now. I think all the stuff he's doing, and I mean, just even like the little shots that Edge is taking at him, you know, where, and I don't know, to kind of look through it through a wrestling lens of, you know, like Edge taking those shots, I think is really kind of, even to go to Roman Reigns, you know, shtick, he's acknowledging him. You know, you've got Rhea Ripley, you got Finn Balor, Damian Priest, and then, you know, Edge at the end of his promos, you know, and then you've got Dominic. And but I think everything that he's doing is really awesome right now. I think it's smart. I think that him going from, you know, being in the ring, you see the development and you see what WWE is trying to do with him, and it's awesome to see because, you know, this is what you want to see. You want to see young guys like that succeed. You know, I honestly don't even... Is he second, third generation superstar? I mean, to
second. Well, no. Well, it depends on who you. I don't know with Rey's family.
Well, Rey Mysterio was his uncle. I do know that.
Okay.
He took his uncle's gimmick of Rey Mysterio Jr. So
right.
I don't know if his dad was actually a wrestler, but either way,
so
I mean,
it would be second for sure.
Right. Either way, you know, that's another really wrestling royalty type family. In the Mysterios, and I don't know, just I think he's doing great work. But like I was saying, you know, he's in the ring with his dad for, you know, about a year, however long, you know, they did that. They split up, and now he's going on his Judgment Day role. And now he's kind of taking a back seat. He hasn't been in the ring as much. And I like that because, you know, they're building him now on a different level of, you know, okay, this is how you, you know, get heat without even getting in the ring. This is how you, you know, manipulate the crowd, and I love everything that he's doing. And I mean, me personally, I'm always more, I would say, I guess, partial to the heel. I mean, you know, Roman's won me over with the heel work. I've always loved the Miz's stuff. You know, there's a lot of those guys that, you know, I'm sure people, why the hell do you like, you know, but I love the heel work. You know, I love the way, you know, a superstar can work the crowd and really, you know, get them upset. And, you know, I think Dominic is really learning how to do that, and to see him succeed on that level, I'm excited to see what's next for Dominic Mysterio after Judgment Day.
Yeah, I'm too. And I think you kind of nailed it on the head there. Triple H, you can see he's talented in the ring.
Yeah.
But what he wasn't really getting fully was how to just be a dick.
Yeah.
You know, and doing that, you know, he went to jail for a night thing that was really brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, giving him that extra edge of annoying. And he's playing up to it well. I mean, you know, he's starting to get it. I think he's always, what, 23, 24, or something like that?
He's young.
So, I mean, he's got a long way to go, but, you know, I think it's really impressive. Speaking of impressive, how good of a performance was it for Montez Ford last night?
Shoo! Crazy. The whatever the hell he did on the chamber climbing up.
The Spider-Man.
Yes. I mean, I don't think we've really seen that since, like, Rob Van Dam. Like, the athletic ability of that man is insane, and he is going to be a superstar, I think. I mean, there's no way you don't, at some point soon, push that man to the moon.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to. It's almost, you know, just kind of writing on the wall. It's kind of like the Kofi Kingston thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of what Triple H was going for, you know, having him get carried out of the chamber, you know, getting that round of applause and just kind of really letting it soak in how good he was. But I liked that because it added another angle to it.
Yeah.
You know, it lets Logan Paul come in and be a heel, which is what he's supposed to be, you know, and just be a heel and cost Seth Rollins the United States Championship and push them to solidify their shot at WrestleMania, which I know people, for whatever reason, don't like Logan Paul, but how are you not excited for that match?
Hey, like Triple H said in the press conference, I mean, this kid just seems like he's built for it, you know?
I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. I mean, putting him against Seth Rollins, putting him in that match at WrestleMania, I mean, it's going to be ridiculous in the I forget what they call it, the buckshot lariat, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
The clothesline. He just does it so well.
Yeah, effortlessly. And I mean, I am more than excited to see this match, one and two. Well, how about the way he came back from that torn ACL? I mean, how quick he came back from that? I mean, I didn't expect to see him back until maybe next year, especially if, I mean, I still don't know if we know, is this the path he's trying to go on? Does he want to be a legitimate wrestler? Does he just kind of want to dabble in it sometimes? And I think either way, it's fine. I mean, you have all these part-time guys. Why not? If Logan Paul is coming in and putting on performances like that, I mean, why not throw him on a card in Saudi Arabia and have a big match? Why not have him at a random B show and hype it up a little bit more, or a SummerSlam, or, you know, WrestleMania? So I'm really excited. And the little, like, just seeds they keep putting in and sowing into everything. He eliminated him at the Rumble. He cost him the U.S. title at the Chamber. You know, Seth has been putting in these little digs. You know, WWE's gotten back to a place where it's like, you don't even have to have two guys in the same room without, or, you know, to get that rivalry. It's not like cheesy TV. This is real wrestling, you know? This is like some old school stuff we're kind of getting now. And, you know, like, it's why people, you know, there's a buzz about WWE right now. I mean, the way that they're running it is, you know, kind of just good old-fashioned wrestling, really.
Well, that just tributes to Triple H's, you know, takeover. And like
student of the game.
I texted you last night, I said he did it again.
Yeah.
I mean, he just keeps doing it, you know, and it's hard to keep doing a consistent show every single month or every other month or whatever, but he just keeps doing it, you know, and I don't, it's wild to see someone who was, you know, allegedly hated, you know, or not liked very much, you know, during his career, but now, you know, he's the most respected guy in wrestling. So, you know, it's funny how things change when, you know, he actually gets a chance to let people work, and, you know, now look what happens.
Yeah.
Another person that I thought impressed me, even though he eliminated first, was Bronson Reed. You know, I thought Triple H did a good job of, you know, letting him shine and do his physical stuff. What did you take away from his, you know, performance? You know, it was shorter, but it was still pretty damn impressive.
I mean, another person that you kind of put on the map. And just to have that you got to book a 3-hour show every Monday night. So, I mean, you have to have some guys there. And I think organically trying to build guys is the biggest difference of what, you know, Vince had been doing for, you know, the last few years, because, I mean, we've seen that before. But, you know, like I said when I messaged you last night when Sammy came out, I haven't seen anything like that since the Yes Movement with Daniel Bryan. I don't think anyone has been that over. And I mean,
that was my thought. As soon as it came out, I was like, oh, this is Daniel Bryan 2.0.
Yeah, all over again. And it's funny. So if you're on Twitter, a great follow is the Iron Sheik. Just funny. But even he tweeted out, "You are over, Bubba." Like, Sami Zayn is on another level right now. And, you know, we talked about it last episode in the Royal Rumble, how all that went. You know, it's hard to book all this. It's hard to figure it out. And Triple H acknowledged that after on the press conference. He acknowledged that, you know, it's really hard to get this, you know, seismic just thing going on a month before you're supposed to put on your biggest show of the month or the year. And, you know, you're trying to do stuff bigger for that. He said, you know, it's definitely a weird feeling right now for WWE. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think it's all going to work out. I mean, I think that it's going to be hard to really mess this up. The only thing that I'm kind of waiting for now, I think we've seen the peak. You know, last night was the peak of all of this. And I just am going to be interested to see how they move forward with Sami Zayn because... But the way that they even ended that show with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I mean, just, again, planting seeds everywhere. You're walking around just planting seeds everywhere, all up and down the card. And it's awesome to see because, one, you don't know where it's going to go. I feel like I legitimately have no idea. You know, are Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn going to be a tag team again? Are they going to work together against the Bloodline? You know, what are we going to do the next 6 weeks until Mania? What is going to happen at Mania? You know, I mean, I feel like there's still a shot that you see a triple threat match or Sami Zayn being interjected into that. I think that it's a little less likely now, but at the same time, like, you know, if Sami doesn't win a world title off of this, it's going to be a little disappointing, I think, personally. Just because... I think if you didn't pull the trigger last night, they're probably not going to because of, you know, what you got going on with Roman and Cody and all that's fair. But, you know, you've also sewn this storyline into that as well. So, I don't know. We're in store for an interesting final 6 weeks leading up to WrestleMania. I mean, where do you think this goes from here?
Well, I agree with you. I think if you were going to do it, last night was the night, you know. Honestly, for the pure aspect of last night, I hate it. But for the storyline, I'm with it. You know, I think Cody Rhodes being the champion is your long-term best move. I think he's done some of the best work he's ever done. And he's barely wrestled any matches. You know, he's just on the mic cutting promos, which he's very good at. I think Cody Rhodes being your champion is the best move. To be honest with you, though, I think they get a Cody-Sammy rivalry here before too long. Because, you know, I think that's how you start to push Sammy, you know, as the guy who just barely fails, you know, or just, you know, all those coincidences barely happen. It's kind of like Daniel Bryan before he succeeded. You know, you had all those almost and almost yeah buts, you know.
And Mick Foley, too.
Right. And yeah. I think we're going to get that with him. And I think it'll pay off at some point. I mean, he'll be organically over either way.
Yeah.
But it'll only push that forward. How did you feel about the women's match? A very predictable ending, you know, but... I heard from WrestleTalk that they said it was pretty lame. I hate to agree, but it didn't hit for me.
I think that that's funny just because Triple H said he thinks it was the greatest women's chamber match ever.
Which I don't know why he said that. I disagree.
I mean, you got to put over your product. I get it. I didn't hate it or, you know, I guess it didn't woo me the most, but at the same time, like, I think they went in there and did a good job. I think Raquel Gonzalez looked good. She was strong, and that's how you need to book her. I think you had to book Asuka to win. I mean, I don't know how else anyone else in that match would have won. I mean, I feel like Carmella I've never taken seriously. So that's one that's in there that the little thing...
You know what I forgot? Her and Corey Graves are married.
Yes, and they made that very clear on the broadcast, which, whatever, I'm fine. That's cool. That's something we know. So, same thing with like Edge and Beth. But where was I going with that? Asuka, she has to, I think you had to book her to win. But the spot they did with Liv Morgan, I like what they did, but the execution wasn't great, where she got eliminated and passed out to the armbar and the sharpshooter. And so I don't know. I didn't love that spot, but I get what they're trying to do. But at the same time, based on hit or miss with what Triple H has done, I mean, you'll take a miss out of a night where you had, you're probably batting fucking 800.
That's true. I'm just not sure where they're going with. I mean, is
I
it kind of
agree.
like a Raven Sting character? I don't really get it. And I maybe it'll reveal itself down the road. But I don't get it right now. Asuka was the best choice since they're booking Bianca Belair so strong. It just seems like the best choice to me. I guess we're kind of going in reverse order here, but I guess when that kind of I think the low point of the show. For the last talking point was Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, and
That was
they've been
a
booking.
placeholder on this card, is what that was.
Yeah, they've been booking this as Bobby Lashley's apparent to Brock Lesnar, which makes sense. They're both from the same. Well, they both basically follow the same path, more or less. Wrestler, professional wrestler, MMA, and both of them fairly successful. So I mean, it makes sense that these two dudes would meet up in a wrestling match, and Brock Lesnar would have a hard time beating Bobby Lashley. And so everything makes sense. But when you do this, and WWE has done the shock value against Brock Lesnar before, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. This one didn't, and they did the shock value when Bobby Lashley beat Brock Lesnar single-handedly, pretty much. I forget which one that was a Royal Rumble. I think it was Royal Rumble last year where Bobby Lashley just steamrolled Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and I think I think last night I really kind of realized, I think I'm kind of tired of all this. I'm tired of Brock Lesnar's matches. I feel like, especially when they try to make these big feel matches, they go back to what they did with Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, and like that's pretty much the model of a Brock Lesnar match. And like you said, I think that's what you're referring to, saying, kind of the shock value type stuff. But ending that match in a low blow, I don't think that that was the way. That's hardly ever the way to go. Hardly ever, I feel like, that you can kind of get away with that, and maybe like on a Monday Night Raw or something like that. But to do that at the, premium live event is just not a, I don't know, it's not a good look, I don't think. And kind of left me like, all right. And then especially with the Bray Wyatt stuff tying into it. I know Brock Lesnar just absolutely destroyed everyone, and we were, texting while we were watching it, and you said like, okay, so it's probably definitely Brock, and which makes sense. But it's just, I don't know, the way that that was already tied into this match to get that finish was just weird to me, kind of.
Well, I was surprised we didn't see Bray Wyatt after, and maybe that's just where they wanted to hold off on that. Which, in a way, I guess that's good because you kind of get tired of him showing up after every match. So I
Fair
think
enough.
holding off is probably a good idea.
But even, or maybe Uncle Howdy or Alexa Bliss, because they've got the whole thing going on with Alexa Bliss, and just somebody random, maybe even just pop up, just stare at Brock for a minute as he goes up the ramp, or
Right, and maybe we missed something that they put in there,
Right.
slightly, which they probably did, but, I don't know what to think of Bray and Brock. I think it will be good, but, hopefully it's just one of those,
If you want to have Bray Wyatt come back and instantly be, how do I put this? Kind of like back in the same space he was. Like, this is almost the biggest hard, like, factory reset on a character ever. If you book him to beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, that is, I don't know if I necessarily, like you said, it's weird. It's a weird pairing. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But if you wanted to like absolutely reset Bray Wyatt and get him kind of back to maybe the same that he was going into WrestleMania 30 or even maybe 31, you know, before, you know, he kind of got booked into being a joke. This might be the way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think when you book those guys together, it's kind of, you know, like a big old-fashioned Vince McMahon meat fest. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's going to be a bruiser match, and I think Bray Wyatt can handle that pretty well. I just don't know what character it's going to be. You know, I don't know if it'll be a form of the Fiend. I don't, you know, it, who knows?
I don't want to see too many theatrics, though, because you can't go in and have Alexa Bliss, Uncle Howdy, everyone, you know, all these different little tricks and gimmicks and, you know, I mean, you can use a little bit. I mean, let's look at The Undertaker, you know, maybe the lights go out or, you know, something like that. Something somewhat minuscule. The build-up will be good. The build-up will be fun. But when it comes down to the match, I mean, if that's what you're trying to do is get, you know, Brock's, what do you call it? You know, just give him the rub from Brock. You have to do it naturally. It cannot be, you know, we have to see Bray Wyatt clean, finish Brock Lesnar in not a way where, oh, Uncle Howdy popped up and, you know, hit him with the fire extinguisher. I mean, I don't know what the hell they would do, but, you know, or something like that. He turns around, Sister Abigail, boom.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Miss him horrendously from the ramp, who knows. But, you know, I don't know. This, to me, has been the biggest, I think, uphill battle for Triple H, is trying to figure out what the hell to do with Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean? He's such a hard guy to figure out because he's not in the main card right now. Right. So, you know, what the hell do you do with this, you know, phenomenal athlete who people love, but he's not a part of your main event. So, you know, you can't make him like a Warlord. You know, you have to make him Brock Lesnar. So how do you make him Brock Lesnar, you know, but still not be a champion? And I think that's been a struggle with Brock Lesnar's character his entire career. How the hell is this guy not a champion, you know, but he's still believable? So it's just hard to book someone who is known, actually known to beat the hell out of people, you know, but make him lose. It's like Ronda Rousey. You know, how the hell do you make Ronda Rousey lose when she, you know, was one of the greatest, you know, mixed martial artists for females of all time? So it's hard to do that. I don't know. You know, I have faith in Bray Wyatt, and I think Brock Lesnar's ideology of wrestling is very underrated. But this is going to be tough. You know, it's going to be tough to figure out how to do this for Triple H. Just kind of rerouting it back to Roman Reigns real quick. Paul Heyman is so damn good.
Man.
I mean, just, he doesn't do anything. But all his reactions and his, you know, his yelling out, and it just adds that realism to him. And his snarky reactions, you know, when Roman Reigns, you know, gets annoyed. And, you know, he is the pinnacle of managerial wrestling.
Yeah, he's telling his own story in the corner.
Mm-hmm. Because it almost feels like Paul Heyman's protecting himself. You know, he's not really protecting Roman Reigns. He's protecting his interest and his value, which is something he's always done. But he just seems to be adding an extra level to any match, but especially these Roman Reigns matches. And we'll kind of wrap this up. But the facial expressions of Roman Reigns, how did you take those and kind of interactions with Sami Zayn's wife? But how did you feel about those? It just seems like, you know, the egg is hatching and out comes, you know, or the cocoon, right, whatever, out comes the prettiest butterfly you've ever seen in your life. I mean, this guy has become untouchable, it seems.
He's the best in the world right now. There's no doubt about it. He is the best in the world right now. And everything that he did in that match, because that's one thing I was going to say as you were talking about Paul Heyman, that I was thinking of just how good is Roman Reigns during a match. I mean, all the trash talk and then the spot where, you know, the wife is over there in the corner. I mean, you know, it's gimmicky, it's whatever, but at the end of the day, you know, it works. And it worked for that situation, you know, both ways where, you know, then Sammy came over and he was in control of the match, and same kind of spot. But Roman Reigns is just on another level than anyone else in the wrestling business right now, and so that's why it's almost kind of bittersweet that, you know, more than likely we're about to wrap all this stuff up as we were kind of talking what happens after Mania. And more than likely, I think we see Cody win the belts, and, you know, it's okay for wrestling to be predictable sometimes. I mean, last night I feel like was pretty predictable as you can get it, if that makes sense. You know, it's like,
you know, I cut you off, but I agree with you, because I was sitting there, I was like, man, if Triple H keeps hearing this crowd, I feel like they're going to change this.
Yeah,
you know, and Triple H gets it. But I think he gets the story at the end, too.
Yes, because
I think...
Go ahead.
I think Vince always was one to cut it off too early.
Yeah.
Well, and go with the crowd, sometimes mistakenly.
Yes, and, you know, get caught up in all that emotion, because at the end of the day, just as amazing as that pop would have been if Sammy would have, you know, won, the roof would have blown off that place, how silent was that arena after three? One, two, three, you could hear a pin drop.
Perfect silence.
Yeah, and I mean, that is just as beautiful as the, you know, pop would have been. And I know that, you know, like you said, we all get caught up in the emotion, and, you know, I'm sure me and you both, we would have loved for Sammy to have won the match, and, you know, I was rooting for him during the match, and that's why... I mean, this is why we fucking love this stuff. I mean, you know, you say what you will about wrestling, but when it comes to stuff like that, I mean, just, you can't do it any better. I mean, last night was, like you said, even the near falls were emotional. Even me sitting at home, you know, in Kansas City, Missouri, I'm, oh, we got him. No, damn, he kicked out, you know. Or even with Sammy, you know, it looked like finally we, you know, it's scene three. And even just the little things that they did, if you, you know, watch a lot of wrestling, if you're really, you know, into it like that, you just notice little things like when Sammy pinned him, I think the last time, he kind of hooked his leg over Roman. And I mean, that's, you know, somebody's going over when they, you know, put their leg over to, you know, I don't know. If you know the spot, you know what I'm talking about.
To solidify the pin, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Roman still kicks out, because as soon as he moved his leg over, I was like, no fucking way. And then boom, Roman kicks out. And I'm like, oh, you guys are good.
It was a masterpiece last night.
It was.
I know that sounds lame, but it was a masterpiece of wrestling. And AEW has some of those.
Absolutely. You know,
but that was one of the best main events I've ever seen.
Yeah, or even when he hit three, how Sammy kind of kicked his leg up, you know, to show he had a little bit of life. He just couldn't
Mick
quite.
Foley versus, who was that? Was it The Undertaker? At Hell in a Cell, Mick Foley kicks his leg at the end of three.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's just a nod to that moment, you know, where I'm dead, I'm out, but I'm not dead.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it was. And I think that WWE saved a riot by letting Kevin Owens come out.
Yes.
You know, and not that the Canadian crowd was furious, but, you know, they calmed the moment by letting Sammy get, you know, the final laugh, basically.
And again, I was just going to say, a test to Triple H, because, I mean, right, just how perfect is that? You got that big moment, that crowd went silent, and then you still let him go home happy.
You know, and I think Vince would have just sat there and chuckled his little, you know, Vince laugh, and, you know, turned the cameras off and gone home, which you know, I mean, I thought would happen, you know, but, you know, letting Kevin Owens come back, and the little... you know, stare down they had at the end was interesting. You know, we'll see what that turns out to be with him and Kevin. But damn, that was good,
man.
You know, damn, that was good.
So as a whole, what are you rating the chamber?
I'm gonna give it 8.5. You know, I mean, it was almost perfect. The Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley brings it down 1.5. Unfortunately,
yeah. I think. I'm trying to think. I need to go back and listen to the Royal Rumble episode, because I guess I don't know what our grading scale is. I think that I
don't know. We did like three different ones.
Yeah, because I usually like to kind of go on a scale of 5 personally, just because I feel you with 10, but like 5 makes it a little, I don't know, a little trickier, I think.
All right,
but
so 4. I'll give it a 4.
I was gonna say 4.5 because out of 5, just because, and I almost want to say the Rumble. I either said 4 or 4.5, but I think 4. But I think you got to go 4.5 because the Women's Chamber match brings it down slightly. I think but like you said, the Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, you don't have that in there, and maybe you have something a little bit more exciting tied in there, something. I think that I personally could go 5 out of 5 with this night because that main event was, I don't think you can get any better than the main event was, just from before, during, after, everything. Just perfect. The vignettes leading up to it. I mean, the fact that, this is how I knew this storyline was just so insane was, I was on Peacock earlier in the day, and it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm like, damn, I'm so ready for this to start. I'm ready to watch this. And I turned on, it was the WWE playlist, and it was leading up to, this moment, how everything started, went from, started from April of last year all the way until now. It was 1 hour and 2 minutes. And when I clicked on it, it didn't show it was 1 hour. It just says 2 minutes, 44 seconds. I clicked on it, saw it was 1 hour and 2 minutes. And I was I could probably watch all of this. And just how damn good that was. And I mean, I know we're not done yet with this whole storyline. There's a little bit more to go with it. But you got pretty much it almost capped off. And I mean, 4.5 out of 5. Like you said, Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar brings it down a little bit. I feel like the U.S. title match in the Elimination Chamber was off the charts, pretty good. I guess I shouldn't say off the charts, but just everything that they tied in with that, I thought was pretty damn good. The Edge and Judgment Day. Sorry, I couldn't think of the Judgment Day there for a second, but Judgment Day match, really good match. And I'm not tired of it yet. That was one thing that I kept thinking is they keep going with the storyline, but I'm not necessarily exhausted from it yet.
Well, that's what I was thinking last night. I was I feel like this is the end, but who knows? Maybe it'll be one more match. Yeah, I pretty much agree with you across the board. The women's elimination chamber match was predictable, not very great, but it wasn't terrible. Bobby Lashley Brock Lesnar was the worst match I thought of the night.
Yep.
But I mean that. And real quick before we go, to make the U.S. title the most important title in the Elimination Chamber and make it that good, that is a huge testament to what everything was going on in WWE at the time. And I mean, to make that U.S. title mean so much is a lot. So, I mean, overall, 4 out of 5. So, I mean, another solid show by Triple H and a lot more to come. And, so, what else do we have coming up? I know we have WrestleMania. That's about it. So, we have about 6 weeks till we run to the WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun 6 weeks to watch and see what WWE is going to pull off from here until then.
That it is, but Triple H nails it again. We'll keep it updated. Still no sale of WWE. We'll keep it updated if anything happens. I heard that they're wanting $9 trillion, I think is what Vince said. $9 trillion, $9 billion, something like that. But when it counts, we'll let you know. But for Wrestling Kayfabe, DJ, top of the show, catch you on the flip side. We're out of here.